Welcome to the Sunday school service. And we are on lesson 11. And we are on loving your co-laborers. Okay? And Paul, when he gets, we are on chapter 4. Verse 2. And Paul is warning us of to beware of an upset spirit in the church, because it can cause and has caused a lot of problems. So we need to be very careful. And so it says in 4:2, I beseech Euodias, and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we see how Paul is begging these two sisters that had helped him start the church years ago. But now these two sisters are at each other. They're bitter, they're resentful, and they're mad at each other. And yet they come to church, and as they're angry, and they're shaking hands with everybody else, but when they meet, they turn their backs on each other. And the church could see that, Lord. Father, I pray that there is not an upset spirit here in our church. And if there is, Father, may you, through the Holy Spirit, speak to us, Lord. So, Father, as we continue in Philippians 4:2, be with us, Father, and we'll give you the honor and glory. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen. Can you imagine if you and I had known the Apostle Paul personally? Okay? Knowing how a faithful and godly man he was. Can you imagine us having him come to our church and preach a sermon? Okay? And we, knowing him, would have probably been all excited, and after church, probably had a meal with him around the, just like we, when people come and we have fellowship and we have lunch or dinner. Can you imagine the excitement, how excited it would be for us to have known him in that way? And maybe we could have asked him to tell us a story about how, what was going on out there. Or, and he would say, well, I had a hard time, but he would always rejoice and encourage them in the Lord. And so he is, can you imagine us having him giving us some advice and some counseling? And can you imagine this group of believers at Philippi when they received the letter from Paul? And they were all excited, just like we're here sitting down. And I don't know if it was a pastor or one of the deacons that was reading the letter to them. Just like Sam on Wednesdays, when he comes up here and reads a letter of a missionary. And what a joy it is that we can see God's people working out there. And maybe one day you and I will say, Lord, when did we go to Africa? When did we ever go to Mexico? When did we ever go to Spain? And the Lord will say to you and I, inasmuch as you gave your tithes and offerings, you did it unto me. It's like when we give our tithes and offerings and we support those missionaries that are here in our walls, and we hear that they're doing good. Sometimes they're going through hard times. So what do we do for them? We pray for them. The local church was, let me get a, the local church was at Philippi was all excited, and they couldn't wait to hear what Paul had to say to them. And they knew that Paul would always encourage them and lift them up, but sometimes Paul had to pull some ears. Sometimes the pastor has to do that here at the church. And it is not to embarrass that person, but to get them back in the will of God. And so, can you imagine, here's Euodias and Syntyche, and they had it against each other. And one was sitting over there and the other one over there and looking at each other like, with an attitude. And the other one would look at her and, well, here's back at you. And they had it against each other. And the church members knew that there was something wrong there. But the thing is that they weren't doing anything about it. And it's hard when a brother or a sister are at it at each other. And you can tell the difference. And our job is to bring them back to the Lord. Say, you know what, brother? You need to forgive that brother or that sister. And you need to come back to the Lord. Because if we don't get right with God, how can we worship him if we are at each other? And so here they are sitting down and they're all excited. And all of a sudden, they hear their names. It's so good when your name is mentioned because of something that you did good. And it's not for us to be, but it's good for a person to be recognized. It's good. It encourages us and that person. So when they hear their name, they're all excited. What they mentioned my name. But it wasn't in a way that their name was mentioned in a positive way, but it was mentioned in a way of rebuking them for an upset spirit that they had against each other. Can you imagine when Paul starts reading that and he says, I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord, and how embarrassed they must have been that day, because Paul is pointing a finger at them, not to destroy them, but to make them realize you are walking and coming to church pretending that everything's okay when everything is not okay, and things cannot go right, and not only are things not good with you, but you are causing problems among the other brothers and sisters. That's what happens. Okay? And so I heard of a preacher that was invited to a church. And as before he preached, you know, people sit down and all of a sudden the pianist gets up there. And if there's an organ, the organist gets up there and they start playing. And he said that there was these two sisters that were mad at each other. And it happened to be the pianist and the organist player. And as one comes up here, the other one comes up here to get to the piano and the other one to the organ, and they're looking at each other. And people could see that. And the other one's walking. And it's, you know, we laugh, but sometimes, and we can see that when a brother and a sister are at each other, and it's our job to make them see their mistakes so that they can walk with the Lord. And so they got up there, and the piano player, let's say they were playing Amazing Grace, but this one, looking at her, they were looking at each other like cats and dogs. And they were playing and looking at each other, and people could see that. And the piano player was hitting the key so hard, dun, 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 and the other one on purpose would slow it down. din, 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 din. And the other one would look at each other, and then they'd play another song and say, okay, I'll get even with you. Now that one would play real hard. And the other one, I'll teach you a lesson. And just to get at each other, but people could see that. How silly and how sad that is when that happens in a church. And it has happened. And this is what was happening, that Paul was pointing to these two young ladies, or ladies that had helped Paul start the church. Okay? Did you know that God is grieved when an upset spirit prevails in the church? God is grieved. In Ephesians 4, 30 and 32, this is what the Word of God says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness..." See, this is what's happening with these two young ladies. This is what was happening with Euodias and Syntyche. They got so mad at each other that they were bitter against each other. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking..." You know when a brother or sister are mad at each other, you think they're going to talk good about that other person? No, they'll speak something, well, you know, well, what he did or what he did, but it's still wrong, and it's our job as mature Christians to say, but you know what? You need to forgive her. She needs to forgive you. But in order for you guys to get right, you need to ask God to forgive you so that you guys can forgive each other. And so he goes, "And evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind." Turn from your wrath and be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You know that so often when there is a disagreement, we are very quick to react in anger. It's all right when I'm going your way, when you're going my way, but sometimes I'm not going to agree with you. And sometimes you're not going to agree with me. Sometimes we vote for a thing, and these people want this, and these people want that. And so what do? Pastor will say, or the deacons will, well, you know what, settle. Why don't we draw names, and whoever is majority, that's where we're going. And that's how we do it, and things work out all right. But there'll be those that, because they didn't get their way, and we need to be very careful and have a spirit of how to control those people that want to cause problems. Because not only are they mad, they're angry, they'll start pointing fingers, and they'll start causing problems the way these two young ladies were causing problems in the church. Proverbs 26:21 says, "As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." Have you ever, and we've seen those, that they're just looking for, and you have to stay away from them or put a stop to it. "No, brother, I'm sorry, but you're wrong." Because we need to take care of the local church here where we're at, okay? And we need to have a spirit of helping people, and not just because that person was not agreeing with us, kick him out of the church, Pastor. Deacons, go ahead. No, we have to say, "Lord, how can I help that person?" And the last resort would be that if that person doesn't want to change, then the church has to take it. Say, take it to the church, and the church has to tell that person, "I'm sorry, but you're causing problems and we're going to tell you to leave the church. And then one day when you have a repentant spirit, you're welcome to come back again. This is how we should work. James 1, 19 and 20. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Sometimes we get in the flesh and we think that we're doing the right thing, but any time that we work in the flesh, you know what? Satan has a hold on us. And remember, Satan walks like a roaring lion to see who he can devour. So we need to be very careful there, okay? Anger, I like this where I'm reading here. It says, anger is just a letter short of becoming danger. Yeah. And James asked a question, and then he answers his own question. He says in James 4:1, from whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your own lust that warreth in your members? See, sometimes when there's a problem in the church, it's not from without, it's from within the heart. And we need to examine ourselves. If we are wrong, Lord, you know what? In the morning, I don't know where a pastor gets his illustrations, but they stick to me. And you know what? Yes, I study the Word of God. I pray. You know what that I can say? I feel close to God, whether things are going good or bad in my life. I know that He's beside me. He lives in me through the Holy Spirit. But we need to be very careful in how we do things. And you know what? When you read your Bible, you cannot tell me if a person does not come to church, if a person does not read their Bible, if a person does not have fellowship with the brothers, you can't tell me that everything's okay, because it's not. And we need to be very, very careful in that. When there's a problem, and so we need to examine ourselves, Lord, when Pastor was saying about the telephone and being connected, say, Lord, yes, I speak to people, but am I connected with you? And I get up in the morning, I get up or at night before I go to bed, and I have a good time speaking with my Lord. And I see, Lord, what do you have to say to me? And through the Word of God, I can hear Him and see Him speaking to me. And I can feel, I told Pat yesterday, somebody is praying for us. Do you know that I can feel your prayers? And I hope that you can feel my prayers. Somebody's praying for us. And then as I was telling Pat that the song was playing, somebody's praying for you. And there is somebody, might be your mom, might be your dad, might be but your brother, your sister, but somebody's always praying. And so, Lord, help me not to be disconnected with you. When we start growing in the Lord, you know what? You'll find yourself knowing that it's a lot harder for you to blow up like you did when you first met the Lord. Why? Because you're growing in the Lord and the Spirit of God is guiding you, and you'll be able to help others in the church. And sometimes we go through rough times, but the Lord sometimes allows us to go through rough times so that when others go through rough times, He will allow us to counsel them. That's how He works. Okay? But we need to be honest. I don't know, and I thank God that hasn't happened in a long time. But sometimes we were on our way to church, and because we didn't prepare the day before, we were in a hurry. Well, you didn't do this. Well, you didn't. And we are at each other at the house. So then we come in a hurry, and we went beep. And we're in a hurry, in the wrong attitude. And I looked at my wife, and she looked at me. And we're all, and then we come to church. And we are mad. And as soon as we come to church, we put a smile. Hi, brother, how are you doing? Oh, everything's going okay. Everything's not going okay. There's a problem, and that problem's in the heart, and we need to make sure that we take care of it. It's happened to all of us. But as we've grown, we've learned to mature and say, Lord, you know what? I'm sorry. You know, what can I do? And things change when we do that. This is what Paul was trying to tell these two young ladies, to change her attitude. Okay? James 4:14 through 16 says, but if ye have bitterness, envy, strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. This is what the apostle is telling us. Okay? I heard of a pastor, and it's so sad, but it happened. The pastor said that he was invited to preach at a youth camp. And he said, as we sat there, the teens sat around in a circle outside. And this young girl stood up and started giving a testimony. And this young lady said, looking at the other teens, a few months ago earlier, she said, I was very angry at my dad. She said, the reason I was angry at my dad was because we were at a youth meeting just like we are right now. She said, and we were told that in about a month or two that we were going to have an overnight sleep, that it was the cost was going to be $20. And so they handed us permission slips so that we could take them to their parents. And as the parents of this young girl, the girl went home and said, Mom, Dad, she came all excited. In about a month or two, we're going to have a night's sleep, and it's going to be $20, and I need for you guys to sign the permission slip. The mom and the dad talked about this with each other, and they decided that since she was barely a freshman, that she was too young to go for now to those outings. And they said, well, there'll be other opportunities, but for right now, we decided that we're not going to let our daughter go. Can you imagine this young girl all excited and all that? Sudden they tell her no. You know how teenagers react when you tell them no. Ah! Throwing fits. And and so she thought about it and said, man, I really want to go. All my friends are going to be there, and it's going to be exciting. I'm gonna do everything to convince my dad to let me go. And as she stood there telling the story to the other teens, she said, one day I said, she said, I'm going to go downstairs. And the mom was making breakfast. And she never helped or anything, but today she said, I know what I'm going to do. going to get up early before I go to school, and I'm going to help mom prepare the table. And so she comes down, and the mom goes, well, what's up with you? And mom, don't worry, I'll set the table. She set the plates, and the food was ready. She said, mom, don't worry, have a seat. I'll even serve. And she was serving the plates, the hash browns, the scrambled eggs, and the ling sausages, the toast, and the orange juice. And she said, oh, Dad, would you like some more coffee? Trying to butter him up. And so, sure. Wraps the bag of his dad and puts it back and sits down. And so, as usual, they would pray for the food before they ate. And so, okay, let's go ahead and pray, the dad said. God, thank you for this food. He said, God, thank you for the many blessings that you have given us. Thank you for this roof. And thank you for everything. Father, I pray that you would bless those that are less fortunate. And Father, we do not know what this day will bring. But one thing we do know, as he was praying, he said, whether we live or whether we die, we belong to you. So, Father, thank you for that privilege. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen. And as soon as he finished praying, that little girl said, as she was telling the story, she said, Dad, I need for you to let me go. Today is the last day that they'll be accepting the permission slips and the $20. Dad, everybody's going. Everybody's going. And he said, if you don't let me go, well, I'm just going to have a miserable time. And you can trust me, Dad. And the dad put his fork down, looked at her, and said, young lady, your mom and I have prayed about it, and we decided that for this time you can't go. So I don't want to hear another word of this. Do you hear me? And that young lady, all of a sudden, she turned. And she got so mad, got out of her shirt. I hate you, Dad. I hate you. And she runs and gets her backpack. And since she was going to a Christian school about a block away, puts her backpack. I hate you, Dad. And slams the door. Later that morning, as she was sitting on the back row of her class, as the teacher was in his desk, he hears a knock. And the teacher looks at the door, and it's a principal, which was a pastor of that church. And he said, come on in. And so he comes on in, and he went to where the teacher was at. I need to talk to such and such a young lady. And so the teacher says, she's over there. And so the pastor walks to the back and goes to where the young lady sat and says, I need to talk to you, young lady. So the young girl didn't think nothing about it. So, okay, so I need to see you in my office. And as they go out the door, she's following him, and she says, something is wrong because our pastor is always smiling and laughing and trying to make us laugh and smile, but today he's not saying a word. So she followed him to the desk, to the office, and when they got in there, the principal said, young lady, have a seat. And so the girl sat down, and she started thinking, something's wrong. He sat down with tears in his eyes, and he said, young lady, I don't know how to say this, but your dad was playing golf this morning. He had a heart attack. Your dad is dead. Can you imagine, as she as she was telling the story to the other teens, with tears down her eyes, saying, "And you know what? The last thing I told my dad, I hate you." She had asked forgiveness of God. God forgave her. But can you imagine living with that regret for the rest of your life? And so, got lost here. Oh, I'm sorry. When she was telling the teens that story, remember over here it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." You know what? As a rebuke to these two ladies, you know what they did? Paul brought them back together. And they were saying, I'm so sorry for what I did to you. Oh, forgive me. And they hugged each other. They had the opportunity to forgive each other and make it right. So Paul brought them back together. My question to you and to me is, are you angry with somebody today? What are you doing about it? Maybe that person offended you. Maybe you offended that person. But what are we doing to get things right, just like these two young ladies were rebuked and brought back for the honor and glory of God? Next week, we will be on verse 3. And Paul warns us to beware of an unappreciative spirit. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you forgive us, Lord. Forgive our attitudes, Lord. Father, these two women learned a lesson, Lord. And we've seen what we just heard many times in many ways, Lord. Thank you for the opportunities that when we're angry at each other, you've given us the privilege of forgiving and asking forgiveness and forgiving other people, Lord. Thank you. Help us never to have a regretful spirit because we never ask for forgiveness, Lord. And at the same time, we cannot pretend that everything's okay when we are in the wrong. And your Holy Spirit will not let us until we get things right. And then everything will be okay because you will forgive us. Not to save us again as your children, Lord, but to get it right again. Thank you, Father. Prepare us for next week, Lord, and we'll give you the honor and glory. In Christ's name we thank you. Amen. Thank you.